Do you remember writing in your diary? Freedom is the freedom to say 2 + 2 = 4. How many fingers am I holding up, Miss? And if the party says there are not 4, but 5. How many fingers, please?
This is just going to be a clip. I'll end up splicing it up, finding something, I guess, relevant out of a conversation with myself. Identity is hard. Having a proper mirror in which to view yourself is really difficult when you look for external verification, external interaction. Knowing yourself is probably the most difficult thing that anybody is going to do in their life. Learning themselves, I should say. I have always struggled with my own identity, knowing myself for, I guess, the internal facets of what makes me a person. Everything always has been so discombobulated within me. There's like a bunch of moving parts that don't seem like they're connected to the same machine. It's never been fun when I get stuck in a way that I'm just constantly trying to improve or be better or a means to an end. So the aspect of what I'm talking about, after I took a moment of a pause there, is actually understanding what your desire is in life and trying to reach for that purpose. There's so many parts of building blocks of a person, of an identity, that it seems like a lot of the world expects a fully integrated person. So when you look at millionaires and everything that's associated with them, there is an air, or it's almost like a landscape that you're looking at, a painting, that every part of them is fully integrated into this, I don't want to say persona, but this identity. They're fully involved in their ability to get somewhere. So it's not necessarily a putting on a show. They truly, genuinely are who they identify as, which is a millionaire. And I think the trick of what takes place in society is that part of the systems that are in place work to disassociate people from finding that true identity, from finding that true mirror that puts them in a space where they're fully immersed in themselves. I've struggled with this discombobulation I've observed around me, because there's not really any proper mirrors for a person like me. I am my own person, and that it's taken me this many years of my life to get to the point where I finally realize that I'm looking in the wrong fucking places. I'm just in the wrong places, looking at the wrong things in people. Having people that you admire and look up to and want to learn from is different than modeling yourself after. You have to literally just understand what it is that drives you. And that's difficult, because the way that social media integrates into popular culture, and popular culture feeds back into social media, it's just like a humongous feedback loop that is really detrimental to people who already have some sort of an identity concern of such. It's very prevalent in my everyday. In the last 10 years, I've been on hormones two different times. Currently, I'm on hormones now. And, you know, I'm older than I was when I first experienced the process, and the social dynamics have changed. And partially, it's the people in the LGBT community's fault for trying to force something that would demonstrate naturally, given the fact that they were actually building themselves from a position where they were recognizing in themselves these incongruencies in how they were built versus how they want to be perceived. I'm not going to force anybody to use specific pronouns for me. I'm not going to make people observe me other than exactly how they do. And I know a lot of people are going to look at me and just see a what the fuck kind of person. And I don't want to be observed as somebody who is lost in life, because somebody somewhere, if you reach enough people, numbers wise, probability wise, if you reach enough people, somebody is going to look at you and try to emulate or incorporate what they observe into themselves and build upon that. And I don't want to come off as disingenuous, because when you build blocks within yourself that are disingenuous, when those things come under adversity, they're going to crumble apart. And then you're left with big gaping holes in who you are. All right, so this is clip two for, I guess I could call it, Identity and the Machine. Machine being society in general. I had some thoughts as I was driving. Just usually when I do most of my thinking, honestly, is traveling from one place to another. For some reason or another, it's just conducive to thought. But I also like disassociate a lot, because myself in my car alone is one of the only times that I have to myself. That time for me lets me look at things through a, I wouldn't necessarily call it a disassociative lens, but it's a lens that doesn't make me put anything else more into it other than just pure thought. People, gender, identity, like the reality of a social interaction, social existence. There is a certain amount of prerogative that we still instinctually have adapted to try to maintain in social circumstances, that you have your male, your female, your somewhere in between, your nowhere in between, and anywhere else in between any of those topics, you know, those positions. And I think that's because certain parts of the machine have evolved themselves in a way that a person like me, internally, through the way that all the systems that we interpret our surroundings aggregate, I know that I'm some sort of evolutionary circumstance, or like bookend to what should be a, I guess, a genetic line. Now, I have kids. I'm not going to go any more into that. I think that there is something that we're going to learn from artificial intelligence and the neural networks that get created. They're going to stumble upon problems that they're still not going to be able to find the secret to why AI isn't able to provide a human enough interaction. Because AI are existing in a vacuum as a solitary creature in a laboratory, so to speak, where they're not socialized to a point where they develop a team mindset and an integrated set of roles to accomplish an overall survivability. I just don't think that humans in general, And the human scientists that are working to create these things are removing themselves enough from the equation, or at least looking at themselves and their own existence closely enough to realize that that is a certain human element, the social element. At the end of the day, we were talking about identity and my struggle with, and or my, I guess, observation of how irrelevant my own personal identity is, in a way. Because, I mean, you look at ant colonies, and, like, there's the queen, who is the chemically and pheromone-producing master of the whole nest. And now the rest of the colony follows that prerogative. That is an evolved social mechanism, I guess, a structure to which that ants thrive. And humans aren't unlike that, but we don't necessarily put a lot in our purview when it comes to, I guess, following what we're supposed to do. And sometimes I think that there's a physiological reason for that. I don't know if there's like certain exposure to certain hormone patterns in utero cause developmentally some concerns that I know one of the biggest arguments in popular culture and a lot of discussion circles with trans folk is that if you have X genital, you're X gender, and there's no discussion about that. But how much of it's related to the genitals and how much of it's related to other mechanisms in the brain that may or may not have formed to hide that bond in the brain? There might be a bond somewhere that links the brain to the genitals, to the social gender portrayal, to the instinctual prerogative of the social mechanism that exists through our own evolutionary history. And now something along the way comes along, and trans people have been around for as long as recorded history. You know, they've been called different things. Some good, some bad, some respected, some not. But I think that there is some relevancy to looking at physiology and sociology. Now, that is not me saying that because you have X genitals, you are X gender. Not by any means. Because there are people that are born intersex. I think the physiological part of the reproductive organs and the physiological structuring of the brain are two separate instances. But because that there's some sort of intrinsic bond between those two components, people are ruthlessly defending the gender means genitals side of the discussion. And there's not even an honest, legitimate debate about what if. I mean, we haven't even looked past that initial if A is A, then B is B to even ask a question. Maybe that's also part of the sociological function. Because if an ant, I don't know, gets displaced from its queen and it's not receiving pheromones, it's going to rely on its mechanisms and what could neurologically would be the right word, mechanically do what it routinely had done and try to survive, which is in a close similarity to myself. I've always been socially outcast a lot. I have thoughts and share thoughts that I shouldn't, I guess, with people. Unpopular or scary. I just question a lot of things about the way the machine is structured in ways that I try to believe are intelligent, and that when I present them to intelligent people, they worry. So I think there's a certain part, a certain defensive part of the machine in and of itself that protects against a certain deformity or certain incongruence, as would be what I have developed, you know, in utero. Because I do believe that I was born this way. I do, honestly. Because I've, over the years, run enough scientific tests through interactions with doctors and, you know, medication regimens and, you know, going through the processes that have been established by people that are far more educated and intelligent than myself. I have done those things, and I have learned that I, me, personally, function better mentally and physically when I am on feminizing hormones. I was born with a penis, to keep everything scientific. But that doesn't necessarily mean that socially I adhere to the penis means you're a male. A lot of times I myself feel more of like a machine, where I'm just mechanically or instinctually reacting to stimuli around me, whether it be work or social interaction, or I don't see the gendering of certain activities the way that others do. Now, I'm sure that that opens up a whole different debate with anybody who may listen to this. So if you have anything to add to this, or want to open a discussion, I just ask that you keep it respectful, or at least intelligent, because there's no forward progress if there's hostility. You can be passionate all day, every day. Through passion, I gain strength. You know, if you're familiar with that tenet, I'm sure you will recognize the rest of the statement without me even saying it. Be passionate. Be intelligent. TheProblematicCast@gmail.com. I will gladly have correspondence with you.
Yes, and maybe if it's in the